Good morning, folks. It's Luke Clayton, and welcome to Campfire Talk with Larry Wysoon and myself. Larry and I have been bringing Campfire Talk to you now for over 8 years, and trust me, it's as much fun today as when we first kicked it off. Campfire Talk is brought to us by the Dallas Safari Club, Texas Wildlife Association, Sitemark, maker of the Photon XT and the Photon RT, Kuby Sausage House and Wild Game Processing in Dallas, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge, Larry's TV show, Dallas Safari Club's Trailing the Hunter's Moon, and Striper Express up on Lake Texoma. Well, folks, Mr. Wysoon is across the campfire from us this morning, and guess what? Our topic is going to be summer care of meat. When we're out, say we kill a hog or maybe an exotic, how to take care of the meat. Larry, I know that you're a storehouse of knowledge on such matters.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've spent a fair amount of time in the summertime hunting, and I know you have too, particularly with hogs and even with fish. I mean, you know, I've got a great fishing trip coming up here in the next couple of days.
Oh, we do.
And may end up even shooting hogs. So, I mean, all that becomes very, very important. You know, I can remember years ago when about the only cooler that you could get, talking about a storage cooler to keep ice in, would not last. We put ice in it, and by golly, it'd be gone in a few hours. But, I mean, the new technology in terms of insulation that so many of these companies now have, it's just amazing how well they do keep ice and how long they keep it in an ice form rather than just a liquid form.
That's true, Larry. You know, the thing is, we'll just think about the hog hunt. You and I, chances
yes.
are really good that we're going to, I know where we're going to be, and there's bunches of hogs. So there's a good chance we're going to kill a hog or two. If you don't think ahead, now if you're hunting out of a lodge or a pretty nice camp that's got a walk-in cooler, that's great.
That's one thing. Right.
that's one thing. But we're not, you know, we're one of the places we're going to go over to our buddy Jeff Rice's place. And there's hogs standing in fighting to get to those feeders right now. Nobody. It is true. Nobody's hunted them in about a month, and they've been corn fed. But you know, just say for instance, we kill a hog over. Well, if we don't think ahead, you know, I mean, it could be a problem. But a 120 quart cooler, I stop by. You can get ice anywhere. I stop by a Bucky's, and for 99 cents, you can get 20 pounds.
Yeah, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I do the same thing whenever I'm hit it out. You know, whether it's on a fishing trip or like I said, a hog hunting trip. And I've got an exotic hunt coming up here for TV along with axis deer, and everybody knows I get axis deer. So you're right. I mean, that's the first step as far as I'm concerned. Is if you don't have one great big cooler, get two pretty good sized coolers.
Yeah.
That you can carry all the meat in that you need to, and all the fish that you need to, and all the ice. I mean, these days, too, it's nice to have a cold drink that is as warm as it is right now, particularly with water or tea or even something stronger if you're not hunting. That's the first step there is, and being prepared, I think, and getting out. And then once you get the animal down or get the fish in the boat, you know, that's another thing.
Yes, sir. That's true. And, you know, the hogs, you know, in wintertime, it's much easier to take care of the meat. There's no question about that in the winter. You know that, and I think everybody listening does. But what I do in the summertime, say you shoot a 150-pound hog. I always now remove it, hide on. Remove the quarters, hide on.
Right.
And then just cut right down the top of the back, and then remove the two back straps. Once you get the front shoulders off, you know, you can take that back strap out right on up to the neck, you know. And then pack that on your, if you walking in, you can pack it out with, I carry cords with me, but if not, you can get your four wheeler, whatever, up there, and then get it back to a place where you do have your ice. And like at Jeff's, there's a skinning table, you know, and some water back there.
Yes, sir.
You know,
right.
So, and then you can get that meat up, you know, at an elevation high enough where it's easy to work on. An old guy like me, if I want to wear myself out, it's kneeling down trying to skin something, you know?
Or even worse, bending over.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can do it just fine while it's going on, but then later, what did I do that for, you know? Anyway, yeah, and then, but it all sounds pretty simple, but if you don't have a plan first and, you know, a way to take care of that meat, you've got it. But, you know, Larry, summer hunting, I actually absolutely love to hunt in the summertime, you know?
I do too, but you mentioned something a while ago that caught my attention, and it's something that I've done for a long, long time too, is leave the skin on when I'm bringing those animals in. Years ago, you got to get the skin off, Well, you do, and then try to help cool it down pretty quick. But I learned a long time ago, too, that a lot of times I wasn't really careful of how I took that meat to where I needed to get it to with the skin off. I was going to end up having to scrape off a bunch of dirt and all those other kind of things. So even during the hunting season, I'm talking about the whitetail seasons and the fall season, a lot of time, if I'm going to transport, you know, just on the back of a vehicle or whatever, the quarters, I pretty much leave the meat on, with the exception of some of the other meat, like the back straps and things like that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, to me, that hide kind of protects that meat a little bit.
It does, Larry, and it does. It keeps it clean, you know.
Yes.
Well, folks, Larry and I are going to fun a couple of days here, and our next show, I think we'll be able to tell you all about it. But we're going up to Grandson.
Yeah, we'll just kind of leave everybody in suspense for the time being.
I kind of know what's going to happen. We're going to the Broken Stone Ranch, folks. Jeff Blankenship's ranch, just east of Grand Saline. Awesome place. So we'll get to spend a little time there. We're going fishing down at Lake Fork for catfish with my longtime buddy, Seth Vanover. Now, most people listening, Larry, a lot of folks have fished with Seth, and they know him.
Yes, sir.
He's a great guy, and catfishing, as they say, is off the chain right now at Lake Fork. You can catch, honestly, this is no joke. You can catch a limit of catfish there, 2.5-3 hours, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say almost too quick, by golly.
Yep, and then we'll get those catfish. The only question that I have that I haven't got answered yet is that will be Tuesday morning. Yep, Tuesday morning. And we're going to have a pile of fillets for you to take back to your headquarters. And we're going to have a bunch of fish on hand. So it might require some hot cooking oil, Larry.
You know what? I think you're right. I think you're right. The fishing right now, as you mentioned, is absolutely fantastic. So many different places. I know that I'm looking forward to this, and I've talked to a couple other places out in the central part of the state. And I mean, the striper fishing, they're doing good on stripers early in the morning, late in the afternoon, and they're catching some unbelievable catfish there, right where the skinned shed is, if you will, too. So, there's a lot of opportunities out there right now, and a lot of them are close to home. I mean, I'm traveling a little bit to, you know, come up, and me and I are going up Grand Saline, but, you know, so very often there's some really good fishing and hunting opportunities literally in a person's backyard. And so, you know, you got to look a little bit deeper sometimes and be willing to ask a few questions and find out a few things. But, man, summertime hunting is, and fishing both, are so rewarding, and what a great way to spend time, and what a great way to introduce somebody to hunting or fishing, whether it's a child or grandpa or grandpa, by gosh, you know, get them out there and give them that opportunity to experience that, and take them back in and let them taste some of that meat or some of that fish, and you'll go, oh my gosh, we got a convert.
Exactly. Yeah. Folks, Larry and Ken Milam. Ken was a well-known fishing guide at Lake Buchanan and for years. And Larry, does Ken still guide at Buchanan?
No, Ken is no longer guiding, but his son Max is. And I happen to be aware, you know, as you're aware, and I think some of the others out there are aware, that we do a podcast. It's called DSC's Untamed Heritage.
Right.
I mean, if they're interested in it, they can go to Facebook and go to Untamed Heritage, or it's available, the podcast is available anywhere where podcasts are available.
Mm-hmm.
DSC's Untamed Heritage. But I was out there not very long ago with Ken, and we're recording some stuff there in the backyard. And Max pulled up, and I mean, he had a boatload full of fishermen, and they had a boatload full of striper limits as well.
Oh, too. So I mean, Ken has trained the son, and the son's carrying the legacy on. I used to call Ken, and you know, I've never met Ken. I know he's such a nice guy, but does radio shows down out of Austin, I think, you know?
Yes.
But I used to call him for fishing updates on Buchanan. And we had talked, shoot the breeze. I could tell by talking to him he's a fun guy, you know?
And well, he reminds me of somebody I do regular radio with, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, we're all of us old outdoor scribes. Of course, you and I are kind of what we call outdoor scribes. Oh, something I wanted to mention to you, Larry. My sister lives in Henderson, Texas, and she... my brother-in-law a little over a year ago passed away, and she sold her place and now moved down to Lake Fork, living she's got a little cabin down there type of deal. Actually, two of my sisters lived side by side down there. And she was giving me, we were, you know, it's, you know what moving's like when you've been in a place 30 years, you know.
Gosh, yes.
So I was helping her, my wife Lisa and I were helping her get her stuff out of there. And she gave me this old box, and I started looking through that box. And guess what I found, Larry? I found 1968 hunting regulations stuck in an old book I had.
How cool. I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, 1960, the hunting season of 60, that's when I graduated high school in 68. And I got to thinking, you know, I hadn't, other than 50 years, I hadn't changed a bit. Here I am already looking for how long will it be till hunting season opens. And but that was so cool to pull that. I said, what in the world is this? And I pulled that out. And it had some of the weirdest, now it seems weird, hunting regulations. 1 point has to be a 3-point in some counties. You know, just
things that
you guys have disproved some of the management things, especially on whitetail deer. But that was 68. That was before the Larry Wysoons and the Dr. Kroll and all those, you know. I mean, not a whole lot of study really had been done.
That was really, I was working with the Wildlife Disease Project, had just started there at Texas A&M, and with the project and those guys. And then wasn't long after that, we had, you know, Curry came on strong, and the spike buck studies and the nutrition studies that we were involved in. And it's amazing how far we have come when it comes to wildlife management, particularly whitetail deer.
You bet. Well, Larry, I hate to say it, but they're telling me we're just about out of time. So next week, I think, folks, Larry and I will kind of recap some fun stuff. Who knows? We may have some real good stories by the time next week rolls around.
As long as we don't get locked in deer blind somewhere, we'll be pretty good.
I can't guarantee. Yeah, I can, too. None of these have locks on them.
Oh, fantastic.
Larry, we'll see you soon, and I look forward to next week and us getting back together and talking some hunting. What do you say?
Amen.
Folks, if you're a shooter, I need to hook you up with Hunter Supply. Now, Hunter Supply provides quality cast lead bullets for every facet of the shooting world, from target shooting to hunting. Hunter Supply bullets have been put to the test all over the world. They've taken the Big Five in Africa, as well as a lot of moose and grizzly bear in North America. Single action cowboy shooters get their bullets from Hunter Supply, as well as air rifle shooters. You can go online to huntersupply.com and check them out. When you make an order, you need to be aware that the shipping is included in the price of the bullets.
Folks, for about the past 18 months, I've been using a Photon XT by Sightmark. It's a night hunting scope, and you can use it during the daytime too. Absolutely awesome for hunting hogs. I probably killed 20 or 25 hogs using the Photon XT, and I shoot hogs at ranges of 100 yards and less. Now, it's not thermal. You won't be shooting 300 or 400 yards with it, but for most of us, and especially for the price, it is awesome. Now, the Photon RT is out now, and it has a camera mode sound on it. For a few hundred bucks more, you can get that model. I am just putting it to work, and so far I really like what I found. But just go to sitemark.com and check them out. Folks, if you're in the market for a new feeder, I want to hook you up with my buddy Carl Harmon that owns Ultramatic Feeders. You can go online to ultramaticfeeders.com or simply give Carl a call, 877-428-4637. Carl makes some awesome feeders. I've got one that I've had in the woods either 9 or 10 years, and all I've had to do is replace the battery about every 3 years on it. Again, that's ultramaticfeeders.com. Folks, you hear Larry and I talking about Texas-raised hunting products quite a bit. We use these products. I mean, there is Texas-raised hunting products makes a scent remover called Scent Guardian. Here's the deal. I've never done this before, but I want more of you to know about this because it works, this Scent Guardian. It removes scent, and you don't have to worry about your scent when you spray down with it. How about a giveaway over the radio? Here's what you do. Go to my radio website, catfishradio.org. My email is there. Email me with your name and a contact number, a way I can contact you. And you, if you're the first one to do this, jump right on it. I'll look them over, I promise you, the emails right away. Send me that email through catfishradio.org, and I will make positively sure that Texas Raised Hunting Products sends you a bottle of this Scent Guardian. I want you to try it out. You can go to their website, TexasRaisedHuntingProducts.com, and check them out. But make sure and do it. Go to the website first. Send me an email. The first email that gets to me, I will make sure that you get a bottle of Scent Guardian shipped right away.